about to start. There will be a bit of a JavaScript assignment put up, but I wanted to see how far I got today. So I will put it up and have you write a few JavaScript problems. But that will be, I'll put that up tonight, and it will be due in a week. But I wanted to make sure how far I got before I did that. Okay, so we're going to go to programs, and final totals was the one I asked you to modify. So I'm going to say enter the number that player one earns, 6, 7. Do I want to play again? Yes. 8, 9. Do you want to play again? No. And so I'm just coming out. Okay, so the code for this is here. And I want to open Notepad and put the code in Notepad. Okay, so what I had asked you to do was to add in the code to tell me who won. Okay. So I've got 3 possibilities, but there are only 3 possibilities, so that means I only have to ask 2 questions. So I can ask them either before these last 3 document writes, or I can put them in after these 3 document writes. I do not want them inside the loop, because the loop is processing individual things. So I want them outside, but it could be any place after the loop is complete. So once the curly brace ends the loop, I can put them in there, or I can put them in at the end. So I'm going to write if, and then I'm looking for player one total is greater than player two total. And I could ask any question here. I could ask, is player two total the greatest? I could ask, are they equal? It doesn't matter which of the 3 questions I ask. I just have to ask one of them. So I'm saying if player one total is greater than player two total, and remember I don't put a semicolon there because that's not the end of the if statement. Okay? With other commands, they tend to be the end. That's not the end of the if statement. So I'm going to put in here a curly brace and then write document write player one is the winner. Okay. So if they got that, I'm going to do a document write and say player one is the winner. If not, then I'm going to ask another if statement. So I'm going to say else, and then I'm going to put an if in. And as I said, sometimes I will put in the 2 curly braces simply to kind of keep track of them. Okay, so now I have, if player one is greater than player two, I want to document write something. Else, I want to do whatever in those curly braces. Okay? So now what I'm going to put in here is the next question. And again, I can enter any question that I want of the ones that are remaining. I'm going to say, if player 2 total is greater than player 1 total. Okay? And if player 2 total is greater than player 1 total, then I am going to put out and I made a mistake up here. I've just noticed my curly brace was the wrong direction. Okay, so now I'm going to say document, write, player 2 is the winner. And then I have another else. So I'm going to say else, and I don't have to ask any more questions because there are only 3 possibilities. And I have asked 2 of those possibilities, and so if they're not true, then it must mean that it is a tie. Okay, so I'm going to check my yeses and nos and make sure they're all right. Those go together, those go together, those go together, and those go together. So I've got my yeses and nos looking like they're going to work. And I've said, okay, if player 1 total is greater, then I'm writing player 1 is the winner. Else, I'm checking, and if player 2 total is greater, I'm writing player 2 is the winner. And if neither of those is true, I'm writing that it's a tie. Okay. So I'm going to save this as winning.html. And I'm going to save it, apparently, on my E drive, since that's up. So I'm going to save it on my E drive. Okay. And now I'm going to run it. So I'm going to go back up here. And I'm going to say that I want to do a file. Open file, go to my E drive, and I'm picking winning. So enter the points player 1 in, we'll go with 5, 6. Yes, I want to do it again. Only I must not have hit yes right. Player 2 is the winner, and that's correct. Okay. So now I'm looking at this, and I'm saying, meh, not too good. I don't like the look. Okay. So I've got a situation where I would like to have a BR before I print these. And there's a whole variety of ways I can do that. But one of them is to just go in and all of these put a BR in the front. So all of these little document writes, I can put a BR in the front, inside the quotes. And by putting the BR in there, it will tell it to move down a line before it writes it. Okay. So I'm going to save this again. And I'm going to refresh. And put in 5, 2, yes, I want to do it again. And then do an 8 and a 9, or a 9. Do you want to play again? No. So I've now got player 1 was 13, player 2 is 11, and my total, my winner is player 1. And that makes sense. Okay, player 1 is my winner, and I have cleaned it up so it looks a little bit better. Now, if I really am going to test this, I need to retest it. And I'll say a no here. And this is player 2 is the winner. Then if I retest it, and put in the same things, I get Thai, so I have to go through and test all of the things if I am really going to be sure that what I pass in is correct. So I go back and I check all of the things, and it works. Okay, so now I'm going to make a mistake. And I'm going to, let's say, not put that parenthesis in. Okay, so I've taken a parenthesis out. And I'm going to do a file save. And I'm going to do a refresh. And I'm getting the white screen of death. Okay? So if I want to find out what's going on, I pick on Tools, Web Developer, Web Console. And I'm going to go over here and paste that in. Okay. So it came back and it gives me this kind of cryptic message about syntax error, missing parentheses. Okay? And it's a closed parenthesis. And if I come back over here, it tells me line 24, 6. Okay? So that's telling me about where it is. I go in, and the numbers down here tell me I'm at line 23, and it said line what? It said line 24. Okay, I was thinking it said 26. So line 24, and that's line 24. Okay? So what it's doing is telling me that actually it figured out that I'm missing a parenthesis, but it figured it out when it got down here, because it didn't know that I wasn't going to continue the next line down there. So it figured it out when it got to the next line. And so it is telling me that it found it at line 24. So it gives you a rough idea. Okay, it's not holding your hand, it's just giving you a rough idea. So it's telling me that basically it found the error at line 23, and let me take this up so you can see both. Okay, and so if I go in and I look around for missing parenthesis, I find it on line 23 and I can fix it. Okay. So you get that kind of error. Okay, then the last line, the character encoding, that basically, we're not throwing in all of the extra HTML when we're doing these. And so that's just yelling at us about that. Okay, so that doesn't matter. Even if it runs, we're going to get that error message. Unless you go in and add all of the HTML stuff that it's looking for. Okay. So if you come in here, it frequently will give you a good idea where the error message is if you get the white screen of death. Okay? And you can then go in and try to solve it. Or sometimes you get another kind of error where it's not working. Syntax errors, it's telling you about. Remember the difference between syntax errors and logic errors. Syntax errors is telling you about. Logic errors are things you did wrong. Okay? So, logic errors are when I make a mistake. And, for example, don't do the add right. Add player one entry to player one entry instead of to player one total. Things like that, where I didn't tell it what to do. Where it's my problem of telling it what to do. Syntax errors are when I tried to tell it, but I made a mistake in my code. I messed up. Okay. Okay. Okay, the next thing I want to look at is the one that says math facts while loop. And actually, I should probably do that in Notepad so it's a little bigger. Okay, so what I'm doing here is a very basic math facts program. I am doing a loop, too. And so in the loop, I've got the three things that are going on. I'm setting it. I'm checking to see when I want to end or whether I still want to do it. And I am changing. Okay, so count is the control. And I set count just before I go into the loop. Then I check count in my while statement. And then inside the loop, I change count so that the next time when I go out, count is going to be different. I'm testing something different. As I said, if you don't change it, then you can do a loop for infinity. You can just go on forever. Okay, so I'm starting out and I'm saying set counts to 1. And then I said, well, count is less than or equal to 3. Well, 1 is less than or equal to 3, so it goes in. It then figures out answer, and answer is count plus count, so answer is 2. Then I say document write count concatenated with the plus sign with equal with spaces around it, concatenated with count, concatenated with the equal sign, concatenated with answer, concatenated with BR, which I wrote with a slash, which is fine, but I should fix those, but when I go home I forget. But those are XHTML BRs, and they work just fine. But usually you write BR and forget the slash, not slash in there. So then I write it out, and I get the 1 plus 1 equals 2, and then I add 1 to count. And I go back. Is count less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. So I go in. Answer is now up to 4. I do the document right, and I get 2 plus 2 equals 4. Then I add 1 to count, and I get a 3. So I go back. Is count less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. Answer equals count plus count. That's 6. I write out 3 plus 3 equals 6, and then I come down and I add 1 to count, so it's now up to 4. When I go back, I check, is count less than or equal to 3? No. So that means I don't go into the loop, I go right out, and that's the end of the script. And so I drop out of the script, and I write the HTML header 2, that says the end of the math facts. Okay. Questions? Okay. Now we're going to put one of these loops inside another. So we're going to go back and we're going to pick up the next example, which is nested. So now I've got nested. And notice that I am now doing 1 plus 1, 1 plus 2, 1 plus 3. Then I'm doing 2 plus 1, 2 plus 2, 2 plus 3. And then I'm doing 3 plus 1, 3 plus 2, 3 plus 3. So I am doing much more conventional math facts. Okay. So I am setting a thing called count. And count is actually going to control this outside number. So that's count. It's going to control that outside number. And count in is going to be this one. So count in is the inner one. Okay. So I've also got a count in. Now I set count to 1. I didn't set count in to anything. I could have set it to 1. But the important place to set it is down here, and we'll look at that in a second. And so I decided not to set it until I really wanted it set. Basically, I've got 2 loops now. And the first loop deals with count, and the second one deals with count in. So I wanted to set count right before I did this loop and count in right before I did that loop. Okay? However, I was telling it up at the top that I really did have 2 variables. I just didn't talk about count in's value. So I've got an outer loop, and the outer loop is here where I'm testing count, and the inner loop is where I'm testing count in. Okay. So I start out and count as 1, and I come down to the while, and it says while count is less than or equal to 3. And it is. It's a 1. So I drop into the loop, and I say, okay, now set count in to 1. And then I go to the loop, inner loop, and say, is count in less than or equal to 3? And it is. So now I am going to start to work with answer. I should have defined answer up here if I was being good. But I didn't, and that's fine, because when it sees it over on the left, it says, oh, you need a variable called answer, and it makes it for me. And so I have answer as another variable that it has set up for me. So I'm saying answer equals count plus count in, so answer is 2. Then I do my document right up there. And I write count plus count in equals answer, and I have my BR. Notice this time I didn't put spaces around the plus or around the equal, so it's jammed together more. So you can decide which way you like it. If you like it jammed, then you leave it that way. If you don't, you go back to the previous one where I put pluses inside the quotes. Okay? So I write those out, and then I add to count in. Because what I do is I started in the outer loop, I went to the inner loop, now I'm going to continue with the inner loop until it's done. So I don't go back to the outer loop until the inner loop has done its thing. Okay, so count in is now a 2, it's less than or equal to 3, okay, so I go in. And I say, okay, answer is now up to 3. And I write out 1 plus 2 equals 3. And then I add 1 to count in. And I go back. Is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. Answer is now up to a 4. And I write out 1 plus 3 equals 4. And I add 1 to count in. So now when it goes back, 4 is not less than or equal to 3. So at that point, it drops out of the loop and hits the add 1 to count. So count now becomes a 2. Okay? And then at that point, it loops back to the outer loop. Okay, it loops back to the outer loop. And the outer loop says, is count less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. It's 2. Drop down, and what I do is I then reset count to 1. And that's why it was critical that that count in equal 1 be there. Because I'm resetting count in equal to 1. So that I can start the new loop all over again. If I didn't have that there, count in would have stayed a 4, and it would never have gone into the inner loop. Because 4 is not less than or equal to 3, it would never have gone into the inner loop. So I wouldn't see any more output. So it's critical that I reset count in equal to 1 there, so that I can go into the inner loop. Okay, so it's now 1. Then I say, is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. So I add 2 plus 1, answer becomes a 3. Okay? And I write out 2 plus 1 equals 3. And then I add 1 to count in. Okay? So when I add 1 to count in, I then go back. Is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes. So I go in to the loop, and I figure out answer, which is now 4. And I write out 2 plus 2 equals 4. And then I add 1 to count in. Okay? And so I go back. 3 is less than or equal to 3. I figure out what answer is, which is now a 5. I write out 2 plus 3 equals 5. And I add 1 to count in. So this time when I go back, it's no longer going to do the inner loop because 4 is not less than or equal to 3. So it drops out and it adds 1 to count. So count is now up to a 3. It goes back to the outer loop. Is count less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. So it resets count in to a 5. Okay. Resets it to a 1. I can't believe I said that. Resets it to a 1. Okay. And then it enters the inner loop. And so when it enters the inner loop, it adds the 1 and the 3, and it makes a 4. It writes out 3 plus 1 equals 4. Adds 1 to count in, which gets it up to a 2. And loops back. 2 is less than or equal to 3. So it then figures out answer, which is now 5. And it writes it out. And then it adds 1, and this becomes a 3. It goes back. It's less than or equal to 3. Yes. It adds, and it becomes a 6. It writes out 3 plus 3 equals 6. It adds 1 to count in, which is now a 4. Then it drops out of the inner loop because 4 is not less than or equal to 3. It adds 1 to count, which gets it up to a 4. It goes back to the outer loop. Count is no longer less than or equal to 3, so I'm done. I drop out of the script, and I write the end of the balance. Did that make any sense?
After all the adding?
Yep.
Do you need to put the dash there?
No.
You don't have to.
That's a leftover from XHTML. I clearly copied and pasted and kept it, okay? So that's a leftover from XHTML, and I don't need it. It doesn't do any harm. It still validates with it there. It doesn't care that I put it there. XHTML had this weird rule, and it was the version before the current version of HTML. And the weird rule was everything had to have an end. You know, how you put a P, it had to have an ending P. A div needed an ending div. Everything needed an end. Well, BR doesn't have an end. So they said, okay, we'll fake it. We'll put a slash inside the BR, and that will be both the beginning and the end all in one. Okay? That's honestly, that's the reason they did that. Okay? One might wonder why they really felt that necessity, but anyway, that's the reason. And so again, if I copy and paste from a previous example that's XHTML, I sometimes forget to take those out. Okay. So now, that's the syntax, on with the logic. Anybody got a question about the logic? Okay. So that's how it works with a do, with a while rather. Okay, then I've got a do while, and the do while produces exactly the same output. And the only difference here is that I'm saying do, and the while comes with the ending. The while comes with the end. Okay? So, it doesn't make any difference. I will still do it as long as I've got count less than or equal to 3. Okay? But this, the difference is that this will do it once before it checks. With the while, it does it. It checks before it does anything. Here, it does it once before it checks, but I get exactly the same output. So it doesn't matter which way I write it. And that's true in most situations. It doesn't matter which way you write it. Sometimes you care that you always do it once, and then you write it this way. Okay. And the next one is the nested on that. And again, the difference is I have a do and a while. So the inner loop is this do while, and the outer loop, whoops, I drew the wrong line. This do while is the inner. And this do while is the outer. Okay. And notice I set count right before I go into the outer. I set count in right before I go into the inner. And I have the same check that I had before. So this works exactly the same way. The output is the same and it works the same. Okay, now we're going to look at a for loop, which is one that we haven't looked at before. think I'll actually take this and bring it up. Okay, the for loop is very similar, except that it does everything all inside the parentheses. So this is the set. I'm setting I equal to 1. This is the check. I'm checking to see if I is less than or equal to 3. This is the change. So instead of using count, I actually used I. And I think that goes back to my life. Frequently with for statements, I is used, and I don't know why, but it is. Since the internet, or since I started typing on Microsoft products, it's a really annoying way to do it because Microsoft assumes that I want a capital I anytime I write an I by itself. And I really should kill the habit of using I and use something like count so that Microsoft doesn't help me out all the time and change my I's. But anyway, everything in the for loop is put inside the parentheses. Okay, so I have it all right there. So notice there is no I equals I plus 1 down here. I've got I being added to every time I go back. So it kind of automates things. Okay, now this works beautifully when I've got a control like I is my control. It works beautifully when I have a control like I, but it doesn't work if I'm doing the, do you want to do it, yes or no? Okay, that's not going to work with a for. Okay, so it is beautiful when I'm doing things like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or I can make the I equals I plus 2 and start it out at 2 and do 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, and anything like that is beautiful with this. But it doesn't work with yes or no on the I and that sort of thing. And in fact, there are basically 3 different ways that you can be testing something. You can test a count. Actually, let me go back over. Okay, you can test something like a count. So you can count how many times you do it. So you can have a test like a count that counts how many times you do it. It counts how many times. You can have a test like the Y or N. Y continues. And quits. Or you can test something like a total. You can test data. Okay, so you could, for example, add to a total. And when the total is out of range, like greater than 100 or something like that, you quit. So I do a calculation, I add to a total. I keep adding to a total. When the total gets over 100, I quit. Okay, so that's not like counting, that's taking data and adding it to a total and saying, when that total gets over 100, I'm going to quit. Okay, so those are several ways that you can end a loop. You can have a count that goes through and ends it, or you can ask the user when to end it with a Y or an N, or you can test data. You can keep adding, and when you get over 100 or over 1,000 or whatever it is, you quit. Okay? So you've got testing data, testing account, and the Y and the N are the three kind of ways that you can get out of a loop. So the nested for works this way. Hello. Smart Ink. Okay, the nested one looks this way. And one of them was an I. I made two variables. One was an I and one was a J. Notice I never said variable J. And in fact, you don't have to say variable I. With a for statement, it kind of defines for you. So a for statement kind of has a built-in define it as a variable for you. The fact that I defined variable as I doesn't matter. It just defined it again and had I as I as I. And then J it defined both because it was set up with the J equals 1 at the beginning, so that would let it define it, but also because the for statement defines its own variables. And so it will define the J for you. So I just have my inner loop here, which goes from J to 1 to 4, and my outer loop goes from I at 1 to 4. In this one, I did spacing between. In this one, I didn't, just to show you that it didn't matter. Okay. And basically, it works the same way that the other loops worked. Okay. The big difference is that incrementing, adding to I and J, is done inside the for condition thing and not having to be done inside the loop. Actually, I don't want to do that. Okay, I'm going to jump down and do the guess game next. So, guess number, one guess. And then we will look at other things depending on time. So I am guessing a number. Now I cheated. I've got my answer up there. Okay. So I can put the right answer in, and if I put in a 4, it says, okay, you got it. Okay, if I play it again, and this time 5 is the right answer, so I'm going to put in 3, and it tells me your guess is too low, but it quits. So that's not much of a guessing game. Okay, so it quits. Okay, but let's talk about how this works. First of all, I am using a random number. So I'm asking it to generate a random number for me. And I do that
with this first line here.
Okay. Actually, I have an HTML above that. There we go. So I'm saying random number. And the random number, I'm saying, goes up to 5. And the plus 1 means it starts not with 0, but with 1. It defaults to starting with 0, and I'm saying I want it to start with 1. So it starts with 1, it goes up to 5. Math random gets me the number. Math floor makes it a whole number. So that little formula, which is a copy and paste as far as I'm concerned, gets me a random number. If I wanted the random number to be up to 30, I'd change the 5 to a 30. And then it would be a random number up to 30. Okay, so that 5 is the top number. So if I change it to a 20, it's going to be up to 20. Okay, so that generates a random number. And again, that, as far as I'm concerned, is a copy and paste. I just take that line and copy and paste it and change the 5 to whatever I want as the top. Okay? And I'm assigning that to a variable called the random number. Okay, so again, I'm doing something a little different here. Usually I define variables up at the top, and I think that's probably a better way of doing it. But lots of times you will see variables defined on an as-needed basis. So when I need the variable, I can define it. And some people program it that way. And I'm basically trying to show you some of the different approaches. So some of them are on an as-needed basis. So I'm saying I'm going to set up a variable called the random number, and I'm going to make it equal to that. So that gives it its initial value. Then I did a document write of the random number. And that document write put up the 5 up there. Now, obviously, if I was making a real game, I wouldn't give them the answer. But I want to test and see if it's working. So I'm giving them the answer, because how else would you know what a random number was unless you tell somebody? So I'm telling what the answer is so I can test my program. Then I did a document write DR, which just moved me down to the next line. Then I said, okay, I'm going to ask the user for a guess. Only I asked them for a quest, but other than that, I'm going to ask the user for a guess. And basically I put up a window.prompt, and I said, take it and make it a number if you can. Parse integer means make it an integer number if you can. So if they type in a decimal, it's going to get rid of the decimal part and make it a number. Then I make my decision. Is the random number equal to my guess? And if it is, I write document write, you've got it. Else, is the random number greater than my guess? And if it is, I write, your guess is too low. Okay? And if otherwise, I write, your guess is too high. And again, I have 3 possibilities, right? Equal, high, or low. So I don't have to ask all 3 questions. I only have to ask 2 of the questions. And if it's not either of those 2, it's got to be the 3rd. Okay? So I'm asking, is the random number equal to my guess? If it is, I put out, you got it. Otherwise, I put out the too high or too low. And it was 5, I guessed 3, so it was too low. Because my random number of 5 was greater than my guess of 3. So now I'm going to take this and I'm going to up it a little bit. I'm going to go back and I'm going to say one game. So I am going to pick, enter your guess, and the answer up in the corner is 2, so I'm going to enter a 4. And it comes back and tells me your guess is too high. And it asks me to enter another guess, so I'm going to enter a 1. And it tells me my guess is too low. And then I'm going to enter a 5, and it tells me my guess is too high. And finally, I'm going to enter a 2, and it tells me you got it. Okay? So this allowed me to play an entire guess the number. So now what I needed to do was put in a loop, okay? Because I want to keep playing until they guess the number. So I want to do repetition. And if I want to do repetition, I need to put in a loop. And I decided I wanted them to force them to play it once. So I did a do while, because that means that it will always do it once. And I want to force them to do it once. Okay? So I put in a do while. So, also notice, I get the random number outside the loop because I want the random number to be just 1 for the game. If I put the random number inside the loop, it would be a moving target because the random number would keep changing. And then how does what you respond help them to figure out what to guess next? So I need to get the random number outside the loop. Okay? So I'm starting out on this one, and I'm going to start out and say, okay, good job. So I'm starting, and first thing is I get the random number, okay? So I have the random number. I get the random number, and I write it out, and I'm not going to even bother to say that. And then I come down, and I ask for a guess. So I'm asking for the guess. And then I'm testing the guess. If the guess equals the random number, then I am putting out the message that says, got it. If it's not, then I'm going to ask, is the random number greater than the guess? And if it is, I am putting out the message about low. Otherwise, I'm putting out the message about high. And then I am dropping down and asking whether to do it or not again. So I'm saying, while the random number is not equal, notice how I do not equal. It's an explanation and an equal. That's not equal. If it's not equal to the guess, then I want to go back up to the loop. And I want to come in at this point, right before they make their guess.
If the answer's no, then I want to drop out and stop. Okay?
So I come in with a random number, I make a guess, and I check the guess. And after I've checked the guess, I check and say, if the random number and the guess aren't the same, then I didn't get it. So I'm going to go back in and ask for another guess. Then I'm going to check it. And if they're not the same, I'm going to go back in and ask for another guess. When they are the same, I will drop out. Okay? So I'll drop out when they got it. So now I've put this decision inside a loop, which means I can do it over and over and over again. On the first one, I could just ask the question once. That's all I could do because I didn't have a loop. On this one, I've now picked up a loop, and so I can do it over and over and over again. Okay? So now, the next one, not equal. Not equal is written as explanation equal. Okay. Okay, that wasn't the right box. Okay, so the next one is guess number multiple game. So I'm saying enter your guess, and I know the answer is 2, so I'm putting in 4. It says guess is too high, I'm putting in 1. It says it's too low, I'm putting in 2. I got it. And it says, do you want to play again, yes or no? Okay, so let me run through that because I should have done that. Okay, so again, if I play this game, and this time it's a 4, if I put in a 5, it is too high. If I put in a 2, it is too low. If I put in a 4, I got it. And then it comes up with, do you want to play again, yes or no? And if I say yes, then it generates a new random number, and the random number now is 1. I put in 4, and it says too high. I put in 1, and it says you got it. And then it asks me, do you want to play it again? I say yes. It comes up with a 4. I say 3, then I say 4. And finally, I didn't want to play again, so I enter an N. Or do you want to play again? And it then gets out. So if I look at this code, somewhere along the line I can get, okay, there's the script. I can't fit the whole thing in quite well. So there's the whole thing. Now I've got 2 loops, okay? The inner loop is the same as the last program. So this inner loop is the same as the last program, okay? It just goes in, and it asks for a guess, and it checks it, and if not, it goes back and asks for another guess, so it's the same. But then I've got the outer loop, and the outer loop is, do you want to play again? And that goes up to that. So the outer loop is, do you want to play again? okay? So I come in and I start out and I generate a random number. Now, if I want to play again, I'm going to want to generate a new random number. So that generating of a random number is inside the outer loop, because the outer loop controls the how many times do I want to play. So I'm playing again. Okay, it controls how many times I'm playing again if I go back up there. And so I want to generate a new random number. So every time I want to play again, I want to generate a new random number. So when I get out of the game, and I get out of the game, the current game, when the random number is equal to my guess. If it's not equal, I loop back, right? If it is equal, I drop out. And I ask the question, do you want to play again? And the user responded to play again. And I said, why do go back to the loop and start a new game if play again is not equal to N? Okay, if play again is equal to N, then no, I don't want to play again, and I get out. But if they hit anything other than an N, I'm going to play again. Now, I could have put a chest in here and said, well, play again is equal to Y. And then if they entered a Y, I'd play again, and if they didn't, I'd get out. So I have a choice of which way I want to test. And I said, if play again is not equal to N, I want to go back. So in other words, if they hit any key, I'm going to send them back. Okay? If I had tested for play again equal to Y, then the only way they'd get back is if they hit a Y. If they hit whatever, they'd quit. And it's my choice which way I can set that up. I guess I decided to force them to play again if they couldn't follow directions. Okay, so if they can't follow directions and put in a Y or an N, they're going to play again. Okay, questions? Any questions? Okay, then what I want to talk about is what I want you to do next. And as I said, I will put up a set of problems that I want you to do. This is kind of one that is going to take a little time to figure out, possibly. So I want to kind of get you thinking about it. It's part of the assignment. So, you've all played the game Rock, Paper, Scissors at some time during your childhood, right? Does anybody not know Rock, Paper, Scissors? Okay. I want you to write Rock, Paper, Scissors. Okay, so I want you to write the program that handles Rock, Paper, Scissors. So, let's talk about it a little bit. Okay. Rock, Paper, Scissors. Okay, so they're going to have two people that are going to be playing, right? So I'm going to have player one and player two. And I'm going to prompt and take in something for player one and player two, or I can have play against a random. Okay, so I can play against a random number. Either way, I can do that. But I'm going to say I've got two players, player one and player two. Okay? So, if player one enters a rock and player two enters a rock, then it's a tie, right? If player one enters a rock and a paper, those are the only possibilities, right? For player one entering a rock. If player one enters a rock, player two can enter a rock, a paper, or a scissors. Okay? And then you've got to establish whether they won. So if they both enter rock, they tie, right? If player one enters a rock and player two has a paper, who won? Player two. If player one has a rock and player two has a scissor, who won?
Player one.
Player one. Okay? So how many possibilities are there totally? Three if player one enters a rock, but how many totally are there?
Nine.
Because if player one enters paper, there's three possibilities. So paper, rock, paper, paper, whoops, paper, scissors. And then scissors, rock, scissors, paper, scissors, S. I'll get it, yeah. And I want to get rid of that little rock there, that little one right there. And then get rid of the whole thing. Okay, so there are nine possibilities. Okay, there are nine possibilities. Three of them can be eliminated with one question. Which three? Tie, right? If I say if player one equals player two, it's a tie. So I can eliminate three of them with one question because it's a tie. So PP is a tie and SS is a tie. Okay, so I can eliminate three by asking is what player one entered the same as what player two entered? And then I've eliminated three of them. But the others, you've got to ask the question, is player one, you know, an R, or is player two an S? Now, I'm going to suggest that you enter in a one, a two, and a three, so that you have asked the user to enter in a one, two, or three. A one for rock, a two for paper, and a three for scissors. Just because it's easier to deal with numbers than it is to deal with letters. Okay, because I can ask just easier questions with the one, two, and three. So I'm going to suggest that they enter one, two, or three, and then you can compare and decide who won. Okay? So if player one enters paper and player two enters rock. Paper covers rock. Player one won. Okay? So I'm going to suggest you take in a one, two, or three, and then you can make the comparisons. Okay? And you're going to put out did they win or did they not win. Okay? And then I would like you to have in there the yes or no to do you want to play again? So I want you to put in the yes or the no for playing again so that they can keep playing and do it. Okay, now, there are about a gazillion copies of this out on the web. So if you do a search of the web, you're going to find the answer to this. However, you need to write this using what I've taught you. So if you start writing this with stuff I haven't taught you, then I'm going to be highly suspicious that maybe you found a solution on the web and implemented it. So that's a learning experience too. So if you write a one that where you've helped yourself to somebody else's solution, you've got to go in and explain the logic of it and what each command does and how it works. So if you're writing with stuff that makes it obvious that it's not your own work, that's fine as long as you learned it. So you've got to explain it to me in detail, what every command means, how it works, and how it fits into the program. So that's an attempt to discourage you from helping yourself to a solution on the web and to encourage you to do your own code. Okay? So that will be part of the homework, and I want you to write this program. Any questions?